Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for January 14th, 2019. We'll start today's reading on the front page with the article entitled A Place for Help, Dwelling Places Pantry, Hygiene Pantry Finds Location by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Locations meeting an organization's size and budget needs and the physical needs of its clients have been the biggest obstacles for several nonprofits trying to meet basic needs of individuals and families throughout Vermilion County. The newly formed The Dwelling Place is one of the latest to find a home for part of its mission. Renovations have been taking place inside two connected units at the Housing Authority of the City of Danville's Fair Oaks Public Housing Complex for the essentially basic hygiene and household care pantry. The address is 1035 Belton Drive, just down from where the Connection Church's Hope Center also has space at Fair Oaks. The Dwelling Place hopes to have the pantry open later this month. This is the county's first only personal hygiene and household care products pantry. The first distribution of items at the pantry will occur from 1 to 3 p.m. February 28th. Distribution dates will be occurring monthly. Other February product distribution dates in Vermilion County are 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. February 1st at the Hoopston Multi-Agency for Women 18 years and older, and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. February 21st at the Ritchie Manor Community Center in Georgetown. Also, at the Multi-Agency each month, they will give away a $25 voucher for the Hoopston Coin Laundry. The Dwelling Place also is close to finalizing, possibly within 6 weeks, a location in a church for its daytime drop-in center for the homeless and those at risk of homelessness. Renovation costs are being looked at to see if it will work out. The group hopes to open the drop-in center by the end of 2019. Dwelling Place President Donna Eddington said they've been collecting and distributing items from the backs of their cars for about the past 6 months. The Dwelling Place also started providing hygiene products to Georgetown Ridge Farm and Hoopston students last summer. The group also was talking about doing the same at Danville and Oakwood High Schools. Items it donates include shampoo, conditioner, body wash, deodorant, combs, toothbrushes, toothpaste, laundry soap, dish soap, all-purpose cleaners, baby items, and disposable diapers. Donations of the items come from community residents, churches, and other groups. For the drop-in center, where people can stop in for a shower and laundry services, they would provide washcloths, shaving cream, disposable razors, and other items. The Dwelling Place started in April of 2017 and formed as a nonprofit organization in October 2017. Its volunteers first participated in Project Uplift last year at the Danville Public Library with a booth with other groups helping meet the needs of the homeless. Now, Eddington can't believe how far they've come a year later. Eddington said the location for the pantry came about after she talked before a local Kiwanis group and Housing Authority Board Member Lon Henderson heard her presentation. The city's Housing Authority then offered to donate space for the pantry last fall, which was wonderful, Eddington said. Eddington and other volunteers have been cleaning out the unit, which has an upstairs, painting it, and getting the distribution and storage areas ready. She said they'll also have other events at the pantry in addition to the monthly product distributions. She said, for example, they'll have $1 haircuts, 4 bags full of rummage items, and they also plan to work with the health department and other organizations. Filling a need. We're just trying to fill the need in the county. There's a lot of need, Eddington said. God has just blessed us, Eddington added. She said their name and mission is spreading across the area through presentations by group members and word of mouth. She said of the school districts now, they're calling us. The group has 2,750 Bombas socks to give away. These are socks especially designed to serve the needs of the homeless community. They are darker colors for less visible wear and have other features such as being antimicrobial. With one of the state's highest unemployment rates, as well as one of the highest number of residents living in poverty, the Dwelling Place Board of Directors recognizes that thousands of county residents are struggling with maintaining recommended personal hygiene practices. Thousands are not only in economic poverty, they are also in hygiene poverty. Since June, the Dwelling Place has distributed more than 5,000 products. It expects to serve around 4,000 people and distribute more than 60,000 products this year. Other board members are Vice President and Treasurer Nancy O'Kane, Secretary Eileen Turner, past President Patsy Jones, Carla Boyd, Ricky Boos, Tim Killo, and Pastor Timothy Shaw with Second Baptist Church. Eddington said they will start a countywide campaign in March for collecting hygiene and household products. There also will be a goal to collect 1 million pennies through schools throughout the county through an initiative called Pennies for the Pantry. Eddington said they've sent out challenges to school superintendents, school board members, and personnel. Churches are expected to collect products on Sundays in March, and businesses also are encouraged to do the same with their employees in March. Collections also will be occurring in the first week of April, in conjunction with National Public Health Week. On April 2nd in Georgetown at the Ritchie Manor Community Center from 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. April 3rd in Hoopston at WHPO radio station, and April 4th in Danville at the Vermilion County Administration Building, where people can drop off products or money. That's a big campaign, Eddington said. The Dwelling Place has a Facebook page and also can be found online at https://www.thedwellingplace2017.us. Our next article is entitled Fair Hope Children's Ministry to Move by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Fair Hope Children's Ministry also has exciting building news to share. W&T Enterprises is donating the former George Buffett Building on Voorhees Street near Griffin Street to Fair Hope to expand its services. The building has sat vacant for several years. The ministry hopes to be in the building by the end of the year, if not before. A Danville Barbershop Chorus concert last month helped the organization add to its building fund. The building needs a new roof and other work inside, said Building Committee Chairman and Treasurer Ken Merrill. The ministry at 908 May Street has been in need of a larger building that is on one level and handicapped accessible. We finally got our deed. The building is ours, said Karen Volpert, Fair Hope Volunteer Director. It's pretty exciting to have a new place. Volpert said the building at 1225 East Voorhees Street is a great building for us. She said it's all on one floor and has more space. She added the flower design on the walls still remains from the buffet. Merrill jokingly added, one can still even smell chicken in there. This is exactly what we've been looking for, he said. He added that in addition to a new roof, the building needs furnace, electrical, and other work. The ministry will remain on May Street until the building renovations are completed. Volpert said it's been a long 4 years, almost five, that schedule clerk Roberta Williams and Secretary Olivia Humphreys have been trying to secure a place. Merrill said the Voorhees site will have the shopping area up front for clients and storage in the back, in addition to the office area and kitchen. The site also has good parking. He said they have room to expand, too. It's a solid building, he said, adding that the building also is on a bus line, which is convenient for clients. He said the ministry is really needed in the community, and they are happy to help residents. More about Fair Hope. Fair Hope is a cooperative ministry of Batestown, Bowman Avenue, Catland, Farmers Chapel, First St. James, and Union Corner United Methodist Churches. It provides clothing, play yards, portable beds, backpacks, and school supplies for children. Located in a house behind the Bowman Avenue United Methodist Church, it served its first client in 2004. It helped more than 500 families and 1,000 children from 2017 to 2018, and more than 250 Vermilion County children in need received backpacks and school supplies. Each client is scheduled for a 30-minute shopping appointment at Fair Hope, where he or she can select from a list of basic necessities. Our next article is entitled, City Man Faces First-Degree Murder Charge Held Without Bond. Staff report, Danville. Danville police arrested a city man in connection with the January 3rd death of Tara M. Jackson. Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said in a Saturday morning release that detectives took Henry D. Graham, 18, into custody about 1 p.m. Friday. Graham faces preliminary charges of first-degree murder and is being held without bond. Detectives have continued working with information related to the incident that occurred Thursday, January 3rd, Thomason said in the release. Ms. Jackson was discovered in a local motel, and detectives still await additional information on her death, but were aware that strangulation was suspected. No other information on Graham was released Saturday morning. Thomason said on January 4th that police were calling to a local motel after guest services checked on Jackson at about noon and discovered the St. Joseph resident was not breathing. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden said an autopsy was being conducted January 4th, but no results have been released. The Danville Police Department and the Vermilion County Coroner's Office investigated the incident. Our next article is entitled, Man 32 Found Shot to Death by Mary Schenck, Danville. Danville police are investigating their second murder of the year. Danville Public Safety Director Larry Thomason said a Danville man was fatally shot shortly after 5 a.m. Saturday in the 1600 block of Edgewood. Callers indicated that there was some sort of disturbance in the area, and when an officer arrived at one of the apartments, found the male victim. Thomason said preliminary investigation indicates the 32-year-old man was the victim of gunshot wounds. Thomason said a person of interest has been developed, but that information is not being immediately released. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden identified the shooting victim as 32-year-old William L. Banks of Danville. Coroner McFadden said that Mr. Banks' family has been notified. An autopsy is scheduled for today. Our next article is entitled, OSF Healthcare Offers Hospice, for the Commercial News. OSF Healthcare recently announced the addition of hospice care to Danville and Champaign-Urbana. Hospice helps people focus on making memories and living their life to the fullest, said A.J. Quercia-Gosa, president of OSF Home Care and Post-Acute Services, in a release. We know that patients referred for hospice care actually live longer and live higher quality lives than those without aggressive palliative care, so we are excited to be able to expand this option to communities we serve. OSF Healthcare offers specifically tailored hospice plans developed with individuals and their families to ensure patients will have loving, expert care to manage symptoms. Hospice services can be delivered at a hospital, at home, in an assisted living facility or nursing home, or in a hospice home. OSF hospice patients can receive routine care with a few visits or more as requested by the patient or family to address physical, spiritual, and psychological needs. Hospice care is managed by a coordinated team including a physician or advanced practice provider, APP, nurse, social worker, home care aide, pastoral care coordinator, and bereavement counselor, according to the release. Susan Fristad, director of OSF Hospice Services, said in the release, most families who experience hospice report they wish they had begun to take advantage of it sooner. She shared that hospice offers a respite for caregivers, many whom have been caring for a loved one with an extended illness. It allows caregivers to return to their role as a loving family member. Hospice offers practical support for caregivers during the illness and grief support after a loved one has passed. For information about OSF Hospice in Danville or Champaign-Urbana, call 800-673-5288 or visit our hospice website. OSF Healthcare, headquartered in Peoria, is owned and operated by the Sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis and consists of more than 21,000 employees in 116 locations, including 13 hospitals throughout Illinois and Michigan. Its physician network employs more than 1,000 primary care specialist physicians and advanced practice providers. Our next article is entitled Mental Health Board Sets Training Sessions. Staff report out of Danville. With the support of a grant from the Vermilion Healthcare Foundation, the Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board Office will provide both youth and adult mental health first aid training sessions in Vermilion County. Beth Necht of Hoopston serves as the project director for the grant. She also is an instructor for both trainings, as is Jim Russell, executive director of the Mental Health Board. Youth mental health first aid training sessions have been scheduled for January and February. The dates for the full 8-hour training are January 22nd and February 21st. Both those trainings will be from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Vermilion County Health Department in Danville. There also is a split session training scheduled for every Tuesday evening in February, the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. They will be from 6 to 8 p.m., also at the Vermilion County Health Department. These split sessions are for people whose work schedule will not allow them to attend an all-day training session. Individuals must attend all 4 sessions to be certified. Adult mental health first aid training sessions also have been scheduled. Those 8-hour training sessions will take place from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. January 23rd and February 7th at the Vermilion County Health Department. Attending an 8-hour training session and passing a brief written exam will result in a 3-year certification. Call Beth Connect at 217-516-2298 to register or with any questions, or call Jim Russell at 217-443-3500 with any questions. And now we'll turn to our obituaries. The first is Rosalie J. Bennett, 81, of Westville, passed away at 8:50 p.m. Friday, January 11, 2019, at the Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral Mass, 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, January 16, 2019, at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville. Burial in St. Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Visitation, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Wednesday at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville. Memorials to St. Mary's Catholic Church in Westville. The Robinson Chapel in Catlin is handling service details. Cuba K. Polson, 56, of Oakwood, Illinois, passed away at 7:10 p.m. Thursday, January 10, 2019, at the Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral services, 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, January 15, 2019, at Salt Fork High School Gymnasium, Catlin, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Burial in McKendree Cemetery in Georgetown. Visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. on Monday, January 14, today, 2014, at Salt Fork High School Gymnasium, Catlin. Memorials to Salt Fork High School Cuba's Caring Heart Fund. Lowell Boyd Cummings, 90, of Danville, left this life Tuesday, January 8, 2019. Memorial visitation will be 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, January 17, at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville, with memorial service at 1 p.m. Thursday and burial to follow at Sunset Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, donations to the Alzheimer's Association would be greatly appreciated. John William Schwank of Pace, Florida, went to be with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on January 9, 2019. Samuel Lee Eller peacefully passed away the evening of January 10, 2019. A celebration of life will be 1 to 3:30 p.m. Sunday, January 13th at the Exit 210 Saloon and Venue Center in Oakwood. Barbara Broom, 65, of Danville, died at 8:30 p.m. Friday, January 11th, 2019 at Colonial Manor Nursing Home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, Danville. Judy Catlett, 79, died at 2:30 p.m. Saturday, January 12, 2019 at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robinson Chapel, Catlin. Dorothy Davis, 96, died at 10:02 p.m. Friday, January 11, 2019 at Colonial Manor Nursing Home, Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robinson Chapel, Catlin. Our next article is out of the community section entitled Let DACC DAC Be Part of Your New Year. New Year, New You. Despite the chaos and confusion we see portrayed in the news and in entertainment, we humans are optimistic. As a group, aren't we? Maya Angelou said, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. I'm encouraged by the hopefulness of that statement. It's a new year, we'll do better. This year, we are really will get in shape, get organized, make and keep a budget, arrive on time, etc. Every year, we give ourselves and others a pass on past goofs and permission, even a blessing, to do better. I like to read autobiographies to see how others define doing better in their lives. It's particularly entertaining to read two biographies written by different people about the same incident. See Rob Lowe's and Melissa Gilbert's books. Perspective is definitely in the eye of the beholder. Right now, I'm reading Michelle Obama's new book, Becoming. There's nothing political in my choice, but I was drawn to the title. The theme resonates with our eternal New Year's confidence. The premise is simple. Your entire life is a process of becoming the person you are or want to be. The target keeps moving, no matter where you are in life. There isn't an end goal, or shouldn't be, where you stop growing and adding experiences that shape your humanity. I believe becoming is the foundational promise upon which Danville Area Community College sits. We're here to initiate, motivate, and celebrate your efforts in becoming. Ready to start down the road for a bachelor's degree? We're here for you. Not crazy about traditional classrooms, but really love working with your hands? We've got a program for that. Retired and looking for something to keep your hands busy, your mind engaged, and your conversation relevant? That's Community Education's mission. Didn't finish high school and need to get your diploma? You guessed it, we can help with that. Whether you make a college degree your grand New Year's resolution, or simply see continuing education as another fork in the road to becoming your best self, we're here to help. Most spring classes start tomorrow, but don't despair if you aren't registered yet. A select group of late starting class for DAC has been announced. It's adult education classes for spring. For information, call 217-554-1663. On-campus classes in Prairie Hall will be Basic Education, GED, and HISET, English as a Second Language, Adult Education Off-Campus Classes, Small Business Development Center. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville. Snow, 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 Snow by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC at DAC. As I write this, the forecast for the weekend is for snow. For those of us from central Illinois, we know that means by the time you read this on Monday, it could be sunny and 50 degrees, or you could still be snowed in. If the winter weather has put you in the mood for winter activities, consider a visit to Kickapoo State Park. Kickapoo offers a beautiful backdrop for activities in every season. When winter blankets the area with ice and snow, consider cross-country skiing, sledding, ice fishing, including fall-stocked trout, and ice skating, all popular activities at Kickapoo. Look for more information on Kickapoo State Park at www.dnr.illinois.gov. Their website also points out that winter is an excellent time of year for photographers and wildlife observers to visit. So grab your skis, your skates, your sled, your tackle, or your camera, and head to Kickapoo State Park this winter. Vermilion County offers many county and city parks as well that can be just as fun in the winter as they are in the summer. Even your own backyard can be a winter wonderland filled with snowmen, snow forts, and snowball fights. When I was young, we also liked to make snow angels by lying down and waving our legs in and out and our arms up and down. It could even be a delicacy. Fresh snow makes great snow ice cream. Take a plastic container out to an area with 6 to 8 inches of freshly fallen snow. Gently wipe away the top layer to get to the cleanest potential snow. Scoop up a container full and bring inside, where you will add sugar, a drop of vanilla, and just enough cream to mix into an ice cream-like consistency. Snow can also be enjoyed as a snow cone by filling a glass with packed snow and pouring over your favorite juice or soda pop. For those who prefer their snow straight, there's the age-old method of sticking out your tongue and catching snowflakes directly as they fall from the sky. I do understand that some people worry about whether or not it is safe to eat snow, but a recent article by Anne Marie Helmenstein, Ph.D., explains that snow is actually purer than most forms of precipitation. It forms in the atmosphere and is essentially frozen distilled water, so may be purer than tap water. The trick is to be sure to collect snow in the middle of the storm in an area it has accumulated in to some depth, so you don't accidentally pick up other contaminants. And of course, don't eat snow that isn't white. If you prefer to enjoy your ice cream and winter sports indoors, there's always the David S. Palmer Arena in downtown Danville, where winter means ice skating and ice hockey. Ice skating lessons are available from age 3 to adult. Check the calendar for public ice skating times at their website, www.palmerarena.com. For those with winter birthdays, consider a birthday on ice. The Danville Dashers will be on home ice January 25th, 26th, and 27th, facing the Port Huron Prowlers and the Carolina Thunderbirds. See www.danvilledashers.com for their full schedule and information on the team. Rediscover the Vermilion County area this winter. And here's a small community note. Valentine's for Heroes. Constituents can contribute. 15th District U.S. Representative John Shimkus, Republican, Illinois, asked constituents to participate in his annual Valentine's for Heroes program. The Congressman's district offices will collect Valentine's for distributions to veterans and those serving in the military. Valentine's will be accepted at Shimkus's offices until February 8th and will then be distributed to local VA and military facilities before Valentine's Day. Valentine's may be dropped off or mailed to 201 North Vermilion Street, Suite 325, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Constituents should return signed Valentine's without addressing them to a specific person, without signing their last name or including their address, and without sealing them in individual envelopes. All Valentine's are reviewed for content and appropriateness before distribution. And constituents can call the Congressman's Maryville office at 618-288-7190 with questions. This has been Dee with the Vermilion County News for January 14, 2019. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.